Ramsey TV.
Romans 8:2, for the Spirit's law of life frees you from the law of sin and death. I have to emphasize this again because it just hits me all over again that this is now, we are now free from it. Why? Because this teaching, this exhortation will be unnecessary when there's no more such a thing as sin and death. Why would we be told, why would we need to be told something about being freed from the law of sin and death? Guess what? I got great news for you. You're freed from the law of sin and death. No one will be told that when we're made immortal. It's a stupid consideration. This proves that this law of life in Christ Jesus, of being freed from the flesh, this proves that this is to be our apprehension now. And the law is called the law of sin and death. Why is it that Christians never try to get rid of death? They can't change their mortality. You don't see churches driving people to try to get rid of death. Eliminate death. Become immortal. What are we all supposed to go on an excursion, some kind of trip to the Fountain of Youth, Ponce de Leon type outing? No. They're trying to get rid of sin, which is absolutely insane because sin and death are a package deal. They are not sold separately. Sin and death, the law of sin and death. As I told you, death is what is coursing through our veins and arteries. Death is. So says Sylvester the Cat and Martin Zender and Paul. Death is coursing through us, and that's why we sin. I gave you that verse the other day. Was it Romans 5:12? I mean, this is good stuff. Yeah, death passed through into all humanity on which all sinned. Romans 5:12-13. It is death coursing through us. Death is the petri dish. Death is the environment where sin grows. Sin doesn't exist apart from death for human beings. So the Christians are all trying to get rid of your sin. But the reason why it's a losing battle, the reason why it's a stupid cause, is because it's like I told you last week with the dandelions. They're snipping off the thing at the top. They're snipping the tops off the dandelions, and it comes back. They're snipping the top off of sin. They're trying to cosmetically fix their problems. And it looks good for 5 minutes, maybe 5 weeks. But they're not getting down to the root, which is death. Death is the root problem. But I'm learning here from Romans 8:2 that sin and death are not sold separately. So Paul is now giving us a message of complete freedom and deliverance that sounds like something so fantastic that we can't do it until we're snatched away and made immortal. No, this is for now. Why? Because it delivers you. The law of life in Christ Jesus delivers you from the law of sin and death. If you can get rid of death, then go ahead and try to get rid of sin. But if you can get rid of death, you don't have to try to get rid of sin. It's a freaking package deal. Sin and death. So, this crusade that Christians have had since the actual crusades, when they rode on horses and pierced their enemies' livers with spears, it's a useless, it's timeless, but it's a useless battle because they don't realize that to get at the root, you have to get at death itself. And here's a newsflash for all the Christians out there. Jesus Christ took death to the grave. Doesn't mean we don't die. It just means that he has a victory that has yet to be completely delivered. It was done. It was signed. It was sealed. It remains to be delivered. But God is such a gracious God that he sends his Holy Spirit to this guy named Paul. And he says, I want you to tell the believers that this thing is such a guarantee because my son destroyed death at the cross, that you are now the people who believe me, who believe my message through you, you are now delivered from this immutable law that's now operating in you, sin and death. You're delivered from it. And we might say, well, what's the substitute? The substitute is the law of life. That's the substitute. The law of life in Christ Jesus. So Paul ends up saying, debtors are we then not to the flesh. Why aren't we debtors to the flesh? Why don't we have to be tied to it? Because it is considered to have been eliminated. Another way to say the elimination of death is the elimination of the old humanity. Your old humanity was crucified with Christ. This is my theme for 2 weeks. This is so unknown. And I'm seeing new wrinkles in it because of this. I mean, I've taught on this for 25 years, but I'm seeing new little avenues opening up, new light coming in of what to emphasize here, what to emphasize. And the thing to emphasize is, unless you get rid of death, you're just snip, snip, snipping the tops of the dandelions as far as your flesh goes. So the remedy is to forget about it and concentrate on this law of life in Christ Jesus, which now frees you from the law of sin and death. Law, the law, the law, the law of sin and death. Christians are all excited about law. Oh, when you tell law to a Christian, they start to hyperventilate. Hope they're not wearing their masks, their CV19er masks while they're hyperventilating. They love sin. Oh, but they don't love sin, but they love the challenge of trying to get rid of sin. So there they are, hyperventilating their own poisonous gases of self-righteousness. Oh, the poisonous gas of self-righteousness. Their systems are suffused with it. And so they're all into the law, but what they don't realize is the law of Moses. Ooh, they love it. They love it. But here's a law that they're not too keen on, the law of sin and death. They only focus on one part of that. Why? Because they know they can't do anything about the other part. Can't do anything about death. But you numbnuts, you freaking ignorant people. the law of sin and death, the sin and the death are not sold separately. You're playing sin games while you're leaving the root untouched. Why don't you hold your tent revivals? Why don't you hold your Bible studies? Why don't you do your Sunday morning services concentrating on getting rid of death? Because you're snipping the tops of the dandelions off. Get rid of death. Now we're interested. We're interested. Holy Spirit revival, 7 p.m. Come find out how to get rid of death. Oh, there you go. I might even come to that one for a laugh to see how you intend to do that. How do you intend to get rid of death? Greens? Cucumber smoothies? The fountain of youth? Vitamin E? What are you going to do? Incantations? Candles? Ouija boards? Meditation? No, you can't get rid of death, and you freaking know it. So you play snip-snip games. You play tops of the dandelion games. You play sin games. But if you were to watch MZTV, you would find out from a guy in his kitchen in Fort Lauderdale who wears sunglasses at 5:50 a.m. indoors. Yes, my kitchen is indoors. You'd find out from this guy that Christ and God, in cooperation with one another, neither are they sold separately, they did something about the law of sin and death. And it was declared to be effective. It was declared to be right. It was declared to be the death blow to death itself. And now the announcement of a new gospel that Israel never heard of is that the law of sin and death is now to be considered by those who believe this message to be crucified, done, and dead. And they have permission now. These people who hear this message, the body of Christ, have permission from God and Christ to think a new way, to be so bold as to consider the law of sin and death to have been abrogated, even though it is not yet effectively done away practically in our lives. It is done away in the mind of God. It is done away in in fact, just not yet in act. It's done away in fact, just not yet in act. The old chicken with the head cut off. The life source has been severed, but the chicken body is still running around doing obscene, crazy things. That's the thing that you're not supposed to worry about. That's the thing you're not supposed to be concerned about, because we have taken care of the root. Well, we haven't. God and Christ have already taken care of the root problem. They've done it. They've taken care of it. And now we just munch on that. We camp around it. We suck the nectar from this beautiful truth. While the Christian churches are snipping the dandelions, we are reveling in the fact that the root has been removed. That the death blow has been struck to death itself. And because God is so gracious, he's telling us, you don't have to wait until this thing happens in act. You can revel in the fact that it's happened in fact. And this is where, again, I keep telling you, Paul's message is the one that uses the come to a realization of the truth, come to a recognition of the truth. Realization, recognition. It's a way to think because, again, it's a walk of faith. You have to accept that these things have been done. And Paul's straining like crazy, and so am I for 2 weeks now, to tell you in another way, in yet another way, yet with me being in yet another mood and wearing yet another pair of sunglasses, that maybe this time I'll say something that will screw it home. It will like tighten it and you'll see it and it's like, wow, it's clearer than ever before. Because it is for me. This is clearer than ever before. As I said, I've been teaching this for 25 years. It's clearer than it's ever been, especially with the sin and death. And I realized they're not getting to the root cause, but God did. Christ did. And he did it at the cross. It was done. It is finished, said our Savior. What is finished? The battle that humanity has been waging unsuccessfully for 6,000 years. The battle against our worst enemy that no Christian prayer meeting can touch. And that's the battle against death. And by the way, eternal torment is not the so-called penalty for sin. It's not the result of Adam sinning. If anyone wishes to read the book of Genesis carefully, the curse upon Adam and our foremother Eve was death. Paul says it there in Romans 5:12. Death passed through into all humanity on which all sinned. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, death or sin? Depends on who you're talking about. If you're talking about Adam, the sin came first. But every single human being since then, which is a hell of a lot of human beings, it's the opposite. Death comes first because it was death that was passed through. Christians teach that, oh, you're born a sinner. Technically, that's not true. You're born a mortal. And because you're a mortal, you're born mortal. You're born dying. That's the truth. You're not born a sinner. But you do sin, but you're born a dying person. The minute you're born, you start to die. That's our enemy. And if it weren't for Christ coming to die for the sins of humanity, then that would be the fate of all humanity, would be death. Oblivion. Lights out, never to come on again. That's what the problem is. It's not eternal freaking torment, for God's sake. Eternal torment, to those listening to me for the first time, it's a false teaching based on bad translations. Get my book, Martin Zener Goes to Hell. Just look, type my name and type the word hell on YouTube. I got tons of videos. And when I say tons, I mean tons. Metric tons. I think that's heavier than regular tons. I don't know, tons a ton? I don't know. It's death that's the problem. And again, the soul that sins, it shall die. That was the proposition made to Adam and Eve from God. On the day you eat it to die, you shall be dying. Death, death, death. That's the problem. If you don't get at the root, then the whole operation against sin is moot. And Paul's, God's, Christ's the whole thrust of this teaching of Romans. It's so juvenile to think that Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 is about how to snip the tops of the dandelions off. Here's how you get a sharper pair of scissors, and here's how you take care of those little things you do and snip the top of the dandelions off. No, it's about sit down, shut up, and I'm going to tell you about what the Son of God did against your primary, primo, numero uno enemy, death. And for this, you have to sit down and shut up, because there is nothing a regular, run-of-the-mill, off-the-rack human being can do against death. The richest person in the world is going to die. Nobody, no king, no prince, no Saudi sovereignty has been able, with all their oil money, to buy their way out of mortality. So when it comes to this topic, humans have to sit down and shut up and listen to what God did about this problem. This is why Paul, for the first, from Romans 1, verse 18 through Romans 3, 21, sets forth the problems. And these problems are insurmountable. I'm in Romans. Love this book. The problems against humanity are insurmountable. Insur-fucking-mountable, beginning with death. So Paul has to shut every mouth. He has to bar every mouth. Where is boasting in this evangel when it comes to the elimination of death, the root problem? Where's boasting? Who can boast about that? We think sometimes we can boast about our flesh. Well, I eliminated this sin. I eliminated that sin. Congratulations, did you eliminate death? No? Then the damn thing's going to grow back. It's a law. You snip off your flesh, the damn thing's growing back, because it's the law of sin and death. Look at that connective word there. The Greek kai, K-A-I, that's the Greek word for and. It's a connective. There it is, the death, sin, and death. It's not like a Barbie and Ken doll. They're sold separately. Yeah, Barbie and Ken and Barbie's Play World and her little pink Cadillac. You can't buy those together. But this is an inseparable pair. This is a evil union, sin and death. But they're bedfellows. Probably bedwetters also. I hate them. I hate sin and death. But my message, Paul's message, God's message, Christ's message, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't have to fret with the outside of the cup. That's what the Pharisees did. Jesus chided them for that. You clean the outside of the cup. You whitewash your tombs. He might as well have said, you snip your dandelions at the top. You might as well have said that, because that's as effective as humans can be against this problem. But death. Because of the law of life. What is life? The opposite of death. The law of life in Christ Jesus frees you right now from the law of sin and death. As I said, that law is still operating in us, but we're freed from it. And if we're freed from death, we're also freed from the sin. If we're free from worrying about the death, because we know we're going to be resurrected, and some of us, I mean, all of us that are alive now, we're going to be changed when Christ comes for us. We shall not all die, Paul says. We've had the root taken care of, so we don't have to fret anymore with this other thing. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a message of liberation that you will not find except in Paul's gospel, because it's called the gospel of the grace of God. And only grace can anticipate the actual abolition of death. Only grace can anticipate the act that will follow the fact and tell you that even now, while you walk, while you breathe, even while you sin and while you're mortal, you can enjoy freedom from this law. You can enjoy liberation. You can enjoy happiness. And you can have some measure of peace in this life, knowing that this stuff can't screw you up anymore. It's called the law of life in Christ Jesus, and it leads to liberty and peace.